Hola, bonjour, hello. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to have a world language class where instead of teaching the language, the rules, and the vocab, you and your students use the language to enjoy learning about each other and the world? I hope your answer is a big yes, because that's exactly what you will discover inside Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. My name is Claudia Elliott, a Spanish teacher born and raised in Colombia, who is as passionate as you are to support our learners to grow in their proficiency and cultural competence. My goal is that in this podcast you find clarity, strategies, ideas, and inspiration that you can bring into your classroom the next day. Are you ready? Get comfortable while I grab my cafecito colombiano and let's start this conversation now. Hola, bonjour, hello. Welcome to a new episode of Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. So this episode is going to be full of games and I think you're going to love it because you and I know that there's some months of the year or there's some weeks that are really hard. It's kind of like the engagement is not there. We are tired. Students are tired. And we feel like we're really pushing our students without seeing that result. And for those moments, these low prep games are super handy. So I hope that you have a pencil or a paper to take notes. Or if you're listening to this podcast while you're driving or walking or running or doing chores in the house, then just kind of look at episode number 55 so you can come back to that. Okay, so let's start this episode. The first game is called Mentira y Verdad, Lie and Truth. So what you need for this game are 10 to 20 personalized questions. If you have used Star Student Interview, you can use any of those questions. I usually have a set each month. So each month I create like 20 questions with general information and more questions related to the specific season. So I have them in my TPT if you want to check them out, but it's just 20 questions, personalized questions. They have to be personal questions. Then you have 20 cards and the cards are going to have the word on the back that it says mentira o verdad. Lie or true. That's it. Okay. So the first time that you're going to play this game is going to be with you modeling the game. So you're going to be in the front of the class and you're going to display each question. You're going to have the cards in front of you, the 20 cards with the word lie or truth, mentira o verdad. Okay. Display the first question. Then draw a card and you're going to look at the card. Don't let your class look at it. And then if it says lie, then you have to answer the question with a lie. If the card says verdad or truth, then you need to have a truthful answer. And this is the part that is amazing. Your students are going to have to guess whether your answer was verdad o mentira, truth or lie. If they got it right, then they get a point. If they got it wrong, you get a point. And that is how you play verdad o mentira. Mentira and verdad. So there's so many variations. The first time has to be modeling. You is going to be class against you. But another option is to put your students in groups and give them a whiteboard. So you do the same process, but this time you don't let your students answer. So you're going to answer. You're going to count to five and then you're going to tell your class, show me the answer. So then each group is going to show you either truth or false. The groups that have it right, they get a point. The groups that have it wrong, they don't get anything. Now, if you want to spice it up a little bit more, then add a dice. Each group is going to have a dice and if they have it right, they can roll the dice and they get as many points as the dice. So I get that idea from Anna Marie Chase and she uses the lucky game with cards. And it's just adding that luck, like additional luck component. So anybody really has the chance to win the game, no matter how many, no matter if you just want one correct answer. Now, after you do that, as you know, model the game, then you can have this game to be played by groups, by small groups or pairs. In that case, you can display the questions the same way, and that will give you a little bit more control because you display the question, one student answer, the other listen, and it's going to be true or false. And then you go, okay, next question, next question. If you want your groups to be more independent, then you can have to create sets of questions too. So sets of questions and set of cards saying mentira over that. That is such a fun game. Okay, now the next one. Who has the question? Now, remember, if you created those question cards, don't just use them for this game. They have to be reused because it's going to be some work. So this is a way that you can reuse those personalized question cards. Now, also, you can create question cards with any content that you have. So let's imagine that you are, you know, reading a book with your class, or a novel with your class, or you're talking about, I don't know, the environment, or you're talking about the city, and you have content. So this is what I think is so important, that we, our content in our classes is very rich, and it has a very, you know, has message, because that is going to allow these games to be very, very fun. So you have your story, you were talking about a specific topic, you can create question cards with that. So you can create between 15 to 20 questions. You create a set of questions. Then you divide your class into groups of 3 to 5. I really like to keep my groups small. However, when I have such a big classes, it's just too many groups. So I'm going to have to go with the 5. But if you can keep it small, that would be amazing. Okay. Now you have a set of question cards. You're going to have to create as many sets as groups. Then you're going to give a set of questions, the same questions, set of questions to each group. And this is the important part. Each student will have to be responsible for a specific number of questions. So let's say that you have 4 students in a group. Each student is going to have 4 questions, and you have a set of 16. So whatever is the number, is split it as even as possible by the number of students. And why is that so important? Because we want to make sure that everyone in the group is participating, and not only one student. And that way, students who are responsible for the question, they have a role and they need to be invested. They need to be engaged. They need to be listening to you, because if they don't, their team is going to lose. So you are putting, even though it's a group, each individual, each student is going to have an important, essential role in that group. Okay, so now you have your groups. Each group has the set, and then they split the sets into the students. So each student should have specific cards in front of that. Okay, this is how the fun starts. You are gonna be in the center. So I like to do, like, I make a circle so my students are around me and I'm in the center. So I'm gonna give an answer. And then students are going to look at their questions and see what is the question that I've been answered. See, it's like flipping, and it's so fun. Okay, so when I give the answer, the student of each group that has the question has to come to me as fast as they can without running. It can be fast walk, but not running. And the student who gets to me first gets the point. Now, there's some rules, very important rules. Okay, first, students cannot move until I say the magic word. And in my case, it's going to be dale, which is kind of like go for it. So what I do is I answer the question, I pause, I answer the question again, I pause, and then I count 3, 2, 1, dale, go for it. And then students come to me. Why? Because I want them to win. I want everyone to be able to have the chance to win. So if I start doing too fast, or if my answer is too complicated, and if my students are not really understanding my answers, they're not going to have the chance. So it's not going to be fun. Nobody likes to play a game that they cannot win, right? So I want to make sure that all my class is understanding my answer, and they're looking at their questions, and I'm repeating my answer again, and they look at their questions again. So imagine the amount of input that they're doing. So they're checking if they have the answer. Then I say dale, and then they come to me as fast as they can without running. And then the student who gets the fastest to me gets that group gets the point. Now, if I have two or three students that come to me at the same time, they play roca, papel, tijera, rock, paper, scissors, and to decide who gets the point. So fun. This is one of the funnest games that I have played in my class, and my students love it. So who has the question? Remember, you can use this with personalized questions, or you can do this with content questions, but you are really recycling content or having students to listen to your answers carefully to be able to decide what is the question. Okay. Third question, trash can ball. Maybe you already know about this. This is a question that I discovered with La Maestra Loca. So super easy. It's one of my students' favorite. The only thing that you need is a trash can, a ball, you can even use a paper ball, I've used it many times, and a tape. So what you need is the tape to mark three different distances from towards the trash can. So one is going to be the closest distance, probably like 1 or 2 feet, and then you're going to mark 3 points. The next one is going to be 5 points, and the farthest is going to be 10 points. So this is how it works. That's it. That's the only thing that you need. Then you're going to ask questions about what? About a topic that you guys discuss in class. It can be a story. It can be star-student interview. It can be the calendar talk. It can be weekend talk. It can be anything that you discuss. And again, and I have to repeat it. That's why it's so important that the discussion that we have in class had like a lot of message, because these games are going to be so much more engaging when we are and relevant. And also it's going to provide more input, rich input to your students, but we need to have that rich content in the first place. Okay. So you ask the question, and then students, you're going to divide your class in groups. Remember, 3 to 5. I like to keep them short, small, but you know, sometimes we're going to have to go with the 5. So 3 to 5 students per group. Each group has a whiteboard and a marker. You ask the questions, students and groups answer the question, and then they show you the answer. Whatever group got it right, they have the chance to throw the ball, but they can choose the distance. So if it's the closest, it's going to be 3 points, in the middle 5, and the farthest 10. Now, this is the clue. Again, like I did in the last game. Super important. Have very specific rules. My students are not going to show me the whiteboard until I tell them the magic word. Why? Because I want to be able to repeat. It's not about who answers first. I try to like really limit my games for those type of who answers first, the fastest, because I want to level the field. I want my students to be able to listen to me as many times and get more input and know like who gets it fast, right? So what I do is I ask the question and I pause, and I ask the question again and I pause. And then I say 3, 2, 1. Quiero ver, I want to see. And then they show me the boards. And then whoever gets it right, then they move, they do the trash can ball, and it's so, so super fun. Now, another tip, make groups rotate the roles. Rotate the roles. So if one student has the whiteboard and one student runs, the next question, another student is going to have the whiteboard and another student is going to run. Why? Because you want the students to be involved. And so often, especially when we have big groups, one or two students are super involved and the other three, they're like doing something else. Like they're like in la 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 world. So we want to have like any type of things or changes or just little changes, like rotate the board to have everybody involved in the game. Okay, that is trash cat ball. Next one, boom. Okay, so this was inspired by a game that Anna Marie Chase shared in her blog. And the original name is Siéntate, sit down. So I read it and I just kind of like made it my own and made some changes. And this is how I'm doing it. So basically, I'm going to have students stand up per app. So it's going to be two students, one in front of each other. If you have one extra, it can be one group of three. Only one group of three, no more. And they're going to be facing each other. This is how it works. You are going to ask a question. Again, asking a question about something that you just covered, start student interview, calendar talk, the story, the clip chat, whatever it was that you were doing in your class. You are going to ask the question. And then the student who answers the question first is going to win the point. But again, couple of tips. The first one, first rule, nobody can answer until I say the magic word. In this case, I have my hands up. So like I want them to have, because this is going to be the fastest, whoever answers the question fastest. But what I want is to hold that answer, right? Like hold it. Why? Because I want to have more space, more times, more opportunities for me to repeat. So I raise my hands and I start asking the question. And then I scan my class. And I'm scanning my class to see faces. And if I see somebody that is like, what is she saying? I'm going to say, clase, ¿qué quiere decir? Blah, blah, blah. Or I'm going to rephrase it. I just want to make sure that everybody understands my question. So I pause, I repeat, I pause, and then I say, boom. Or you can say, dale. And then at that point, students are going to answer, like basically shout out their answer to each other. And whoever answers first correctly wins the point. They're going to be many times they're going to be tied and they play roca, papel, tijera, rock, paper, scissors to untie. Now, nobody keeps up with this course. In this game, it's so fast paced that nobody really keeps up, but they love it. I mean, I was kind of like hesitant and say like, are they gonna like it? Oh my gosh, they really, really like. Now, what type of questions? I like to have questions that they can answer with either or one word. Because if it's more than one word, it's going to be very difficult for them to say the sentence. Or maybe they understood the question, they know the answer, but they don't know how to say it in the target language, and they're going to just be quiet and they're not going to be able to answer. And we want them to feel like they can win the game, because that is what is going to keep them engaged in the game. So those are the type of questions, either or, yes or no, or one word answers. And with those type of questions, it works really, really well. Okay. Next one. This is going to be a little bit tricky for me to explain in English, but I'm going to just do my best here. Okay, so for this one, it's called group bingo. I know, just stay with me. So what you're going to do is you're going to create, or your class, your students, you're going to have groups of three. This may be groups of four, but it cannot be groups of two, but it cannot be groups of four, because this is how it works. So you have a grid with nine boxes, like a bingo paper with nine boxes. Then what you want is students draw the grid. You don't draw it. You don't have to do it. And then they have to cut the strips in three strips in a way that each strip is going to have three boxes. Then they are going to illustrate a story that you told them, or you can use vocab. They can illustrate a word from a vocab cloud, or like a word cloud, or a vocab that you gave to your students. So it's going to be nine events. Each student is going to illustrate three different ones, nine words. Each student is going to illustrate three words, not the same. They cannot repeat. Okay. They work together, they decide, you know, they need to talk, because they need to figure it out. Okay, we cannot repeat, we need to talk. Okay, Then they need to line up like making a bingo. So it's going to be one behind each other making the like the total grid of 9 boxes for the bingo. Then you say an event. You say an event and then the students are going to have to look at their grid and see if they have the event. And then if they do have the event, they need to mark it. Until a group has 3 in a row and then that group has to say bingo. But again, because each student is responsible for 3, they're going to be paying attention. They're going to be listening and it's super fun. Now, I don't let them change and switch, you know, change spots so they can make the bingo. However, I can do that. So they cannot change, but I can say, okay, nos movemos. Number one is going to go to number 3. Number 2 is going to number 1 and just switch it a little bit. So you kind of like, oh my gosh, and get their attention again. So fun. And the only thing that you have to do is say the events. There are an activity that I really, really like that is called blind retell, where you put like the sentence, like all the story on your screen, and then students draw that like in boxes, and then they use the illustration to retell, and then they work with somebody else, and then that student is going to be their coach. So the student is going to be looking at the original text, and then the other student is going to be looking at the illustration and retell. So it was using and thinking about that activity that I thought that this was going to work, and it did. So I used the same illustrations that my students did the first time, but then I switched it up and said, you don't have to do it in order because I'm not going to say it in order. And that's how I created Group Bingo. Okay, don't go yet because I have a bonus game plus a tool, and you are gonna love that tool. So stay with me until the end because you're gonna love this tool. Okay, so let me tell you about the bonus. This is an activity or an a game that I thought about it based on an activity that a teacher shared in Instagram. If you want to follow her, is miss.box.class. And the activity is called Finish the Drawing. So basically, Finish the Drawing is a super fun activity. It can be like a great brain break too, where you draw like half of a triangle or a little bit of a circle or an oval or one line of a rectangle. Whatever it is, you start with like a shape or a half of a shape, and then you ask your class, finish the drawing. And they're going to be super creative. So like she shows something that she did like a half of a circle, and then a lot of students did like animals and goats and a tree. I mean, just many, many things. So it's super fun because you don't say draw something, but you start with something and then you just tell them finish the drawing. And it's like, oh my God, this is a great activity. And then of course I thought, how can I use this activity to provide more input? And that is how I came out with this game. Okay. So you have your class to do that, finish the drawing, and then you're going to put music and you're going to let them draw. After they finish, let's say 5 minutes, you're going to collect all the drawings. Some of them are going to be great. Some of them are not going to be that great. You're going to select 8 drawings that you really like and then that you think you can provide a lot of good input with those drawings. So you are going to number the drawings 1 through 8 and then place the drawings in the front on your whiteboard, on your board, on a front, and now in a way that all your class can see the 8 drawings. Then you're going to divide your class into groups. Remember, same rule, 3 to 5. Give each group a whiteboard. Then you are going to describe. So you're going to describe a drawing. So you're going to select, you're going to look at the 8 and you're going to select one, and then you're going to start describing. And then basically what your class is going to have to do is going to be listening to you and then try to guess what is the drawing. And of course, because you're a master, you know that you don't want to give it away really fast. So you're going to start with one sentence and pause and repeat the sentence and pause. And then add one more detail and pause, but always thinking about How can I describe this as long as I can without my students to be certain about what is the drawing? Because that is going to keep their attention longer and it's going to allow them to get more input from you. So that is kind of like the tip for making this a very, very rich input-based game. Now, whenever you finish, so remember, the goal is not that they find out fast. So again, the rule has to be, nobody show me until I tell the magic word. And then you're going to repeat. Whenever you feel like your students kind of like they know, you don't want it to make it boring. So you're going to stop at that point and you're going to say 3, 2, 1, and then your magic word. In my case, it's going to be muéstrame, or I want to see, quiero ver, or dale, go for it, whatever it is. And then I say the word and my students show me the answer. And then whoever gets it right gets a point. And then you can do the dice, you can do cards, or whatever. Or you can even do trash cat ball if you want. So you can mix it with one more just to add some, to spice it up. Okay, so that is one version. Now, the second one is using a game that my friend Christina Marchiori shared here in this podcast, and is episode 11. And if you haven't listened to episode 11, you're going to love episode 11, because episode 11 is an episode where Christina is sharing games that are going to help students produce some language. So it was super fun because it's kind of like a game. There are games, but it's going to help students to produce the language in a so relaxed way. So episode 11. And she shared Guess Who. And I thought about that game when I was thinking about this game. So what you're going to do is, you're going to do the same. You're going to put this A, you're going to do the finish the drawing activity, then you're going to select 8, you're going to number the 8, you're going to put them in the front. Or you can put 10. 8 is a good number. Put them in the front. Have a student look at those. And then each group is going to start asking you yes or no question to try to discover what was the drawing. Isn't that great? So they're going to ask yes or no question, and they're going to go in turns. And then the group has to decide whether they ask a question or they guess. If they guess wrong, they're out. If they guess right, they win the point. And then you can do that with all the 8 drawings, and you can say, I can repeat the same, and that is awesome. Now, after you model these games, they can do it in little groups for like more, you know, it can be a great station activity or it can be a small group activity. But I think all these games are very low prep, really rich in input. And I think they're going to keep your students engaged. And I hope you love them. And if you try any of these games, I would love for you to share with me. Okay, remember that tool? Okay, you want to listen to this. This is a tool that I discovered a few months ago, and I did a training inside the Academy for the Spanish Teacher Academy about this, and they were like so impressed. They couldn't even believe that this tool existed, and me neither. Okay, so it's called questionwell.org, and it's amazing. So what is this? Is an AI tool. So what is this tool is going to do for you is that you're going to provide a text or even a link of a website or web page or a YouTube video. And that input, that is kind of like the content. And this AI tool is going to create multiple choice questions for you. And not only that, but they're going to create it in a way that you can export it to all the other platforms that we use to play games with the students, like Blueclit, GameKit, Kahoot, Quizlet. It also has quizzes. It can be also a Microsoft form, or it can be a Google form. And you don't have to do all the typing. This is great, right? Okay, so this is what you do. You go to questionwell.org, and then you are going to click or try it for free. So you're going to click try it. And then after you click try it, you're going to, it's open a window, and you're going to put your topic. You're going to select the language where you want the questions to be. And then you're going to provide the text. You can copy paste a story or an article or any text. or you can do a YouTube video. That is impressive because you can go to a YouTube video and then you put it there on that space and it's going to create all the transcript. Isn't that great? Of the YouTube video. And it will do the same with the website. So a web page, do the same. It's incredible. Then it's going to have a space that says outcome. So in that space, you can be very specific about what you want your students to answer. So you can say, I want them to identify main idea. I want them to identify details. I want them to identify preferences. I want them to identify what the problem is. I want them to identify the main characteristic of the character. I want them to identify the audience, the tone, anything. You can be specific or you can leave it blank. And then the system, the computer, the AI is going to just figure it out for you. When you finish that, then you click create set and it will create. I will create for the things that I have done is between 11 to 20 questions. And then you look at the questions and you can edit your questions, but half the work is done for you. So you don't have to do all the typing and it creates pretty good questions. Now I always look at them because I know that there are some words that are going to be totally like incomprehensible for my students. So I always edit, but you're editing, you're not creating from scratch. And that is amazing. But then you turn and on the left side of your screen, you're going to see export. You're going to click that and you're going to find how you can export it. Export it to all the different platforms. So it has Booklet, GimKit. So what you're going to do is like, okay, I'm going to do Booklet. So you click on Booklet, then export to Booklet, and then you're going to go to your Booklet account and then you're going to start import questions and you're going to import that file. And it works and it's amazing. And you can do the same for a Google form if you want a quiz and Microsoft Form and all those platforms. So it's questionwell.org. Okay, I think that was I would say it in Spanish. Cerramos con broche de oro. And we close with golden, I don't know how you say it in English, but I think this is a good way to finish this episode with this incredible tool. Thank you so much for listening. I just wanted to share with you that I have been receiving a few emails from the listeners like you telling me about how this podcast has helped. And this is a pretty good one that I just wanted to read two sentences to you. And this is from Anne. And Anne says, I want to thank you for your amazing podcast. I'm not new to CI, but with 5 high school levels, including AP French, to teach and a large family at home, I started this year completely overwhelmed. And then I encountered your podcast and it changed everything. Now in my car, I listen to your recordings and I introduce many things in my class with success, like a start student interview. And then she talks about some reading activities, the probable and improbable, that makes her AP class so much better. So Anne, thank you for that email. And thank you all of you who have taken the time to send me an email or tag me in social media and tell me about how this podcast has helped you, because that's why I do it. That's why I put all this work, because for me, podcast is one way that I have grown so much. So putting this podcast for you, it has been such a great journey. So if you like this podcast, if you have been listening, I would love if you can take the time to leave a review. If you're in Apple Podcasts, when you go to the show, then scroll down and then you can tap to rate and then write a review. That's it for today. I hope that you get to play a lot of games in your class. Have a great week y nos vemos pronto. Chao, chao.